We'll still be looking at 1 Samuel 14 tonight. Looking at Jonathan and his armor bearer standing up to the Philistines there. And we started with 2 Chronicles 16:9 this morning. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro through the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you that you are watching. You have wrought for us our salvation in Christ. And we know that in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. We also know that we are complete in him. We know that he is all and in all, and that we can have all that we need through faith in Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, I thank you for your great love. I thank you that our God would care to die for his creation and be put on flesh, suffer as you did, and rise again. And so we worship, we praise you for your love. We thank you for the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. Now, dear God, please fill me with your Spirit, and I ask it is to help me to minister the Word of God to the church tonight. I thank you for each one here. I pray you'd fill my dear wife with your Spirit, help her watching the children. Thank you for ministering to us this morning by your Spirit, both through the children's Sunday school hour or the adult Sunday school hour or the morning worship service. Songs of praise, the offerings, the prayers, all that's been done here, dear God. Pray it's been pleasing to you. I pray and trust it's been edifying to your church. And once again, use your word and your Spirit to draw us closer to you tonight. And dear God, I pray you bless also the business meeting to follow, and we thank you for your blessings upon us there as well. Father, we do pray. We do ask these things in Jesus' name for his glory. Amen. Amen. You may be seated.
Looking at how to catch the eye of God. We saw all that this morning. Went through point one. And we're going to finish the message tonight. Catching the eye of God. We saw if we would catch the eye of God, we must have the right concept of work. We saw that it was obvious that Jonathan realized they would need to work hard, habitually, from the heart, in harmony, in the harvest, and in humility this morning. All that was between him and his armor bearer as they went out. God saw that. God blessed that in a great way. They had the right concept of work. Secondly, tonight, they had the right concept of warfare. They had the right concept of warfare. Our life is not only often called a work, it's also called a warfare as Christians. The weapons of our what? Warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And Paul told Timothy that by these, the things that Christ supplies, you might war a good warfare. And so that is also the picture of our lives. So the right concept of warfare. And here we see in regards to that with Jonathan and his armor bearer that they rallied in God's passage. They rallied in God's passage. Back up there. All right. As they look at that hill there, verse 4 of 1 Samuel 14, between the passages by which Jonathan sought to go up over unto the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on the one side and a sharp rock on the other side. Down to verse 5, the forefront of the one was situate northward over against Michmash, and the other southward over against Gibeah. Now, as they looked up at this fortress where the Philistines were, this garrison, they were going to have to climb this incline and follow the passages up there. In some way, it was restricted as to the way they could go up. Jonathan and his armor bearer could have gone up that hill with many or few. We talked about that this morning. But there were restricted passages through which they would have to ascend. Somehow these rocks were confining the ways in which they could go up, which may be one of the reasons why Jonathan says, we're going to go up and discover ourselves to them. They had no intent of trying to sneak up on them, anything like that.
they were going to go up and discover themselves to them. There was a limited way in which they could go up, though they went up by many or by few. And we can make an application to that as illustrative of the fact that there are clearly marked passages in the Scriptures to which all programs must conform. As we of the church reach out, there are things we need to consider. As we as believers reach out to try and help others be saved and grow, there are some truths that we need to consider and be faithful to. There are certain passages, so to speak, that narrow the way that we can make sure that we are ministering within the realm of God's, you know, of God's will. And as we go out into the world as he directs. First of all, there is one gospel message. There is just one gospel message. We're seeing that in our study in Galatians on Wednesday night. Galatians 1:8, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say now I again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. So there's one gospel. It is the gospel of salvation, what? By grace, through faith, plus nothing. And we must be firm on that and be faithful to that gospel message. There's so many people trying to add to it, so many people trying to take away from it. We don't want to do either one of those. There's one message that saves. It is the gospel. And by the way, there's one great commission from God. In Matthew 28, Jesus spake unto them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So there's one great commission. As we are to go into all the world, preaching what? That one gospel. We go ourselves to our friends, family, neighbors. We pray for them. We go to our city, to our coworkers, to however that we may have opportunity to do that. We go to the world, to our missionaries, as we support them and pray for them. We endeavor to fulfill that great commission. Everything we do in this church needs to be funneled through these passages. You recognize that. And by the way, there's one ground of the truth. In 1 Timothy 3:15, the Bible says, Paul writes to Timothy, he's writing about how Christians ought to behave in the church, and he says, but if I tarry long, I write these things, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and what? Ground of the truth. The pillar and ground of the truth. That's why I shy away from these places that become the hut and the shack and the shanty and the group. They want any. They'll take any name but church. I like church. You know, Jesus said, "Upon this rock I'll build my what? Church." Yeah, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so we see the gospel saves. So the Great Commission, we take that gospel to the world. They get saved, and then when they get saved, want them to grow. Where do you bring them? Into the church. Into the church. And into the fellowship. Ephesians 4:11. He Christ gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. That's the maturing. For the working of the ministry. For the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And so we don't embrace, as we said this morning, the come unto us philosophy, but the go unto them philosophy. And we need to be looking where God wants us to be a missionary this year. By the way, he does. We just need to be looking for that opportunity. Where can I hand out that tract? Who can I perhaps take to lunch? Who can I speak with for a moment, giving them a tract? Sharing the gospel if that opportunity arises. We think about Jonathan and his armor bearer going to those Philistines. You know, God never intended for Jonathan and his armor bearer to slay all the Philistines. God never intended that. God knew he was going to bless him. We look at verse 20 in the passage there. Saul and all the people that were with him assembled themselves, and they came to the battle. This is after Jonathan goes up and they slay that first 20, and then God strikes the group with the confusion and such, where they all begin killing each other, the Philistines. So he got them killing each other. Then he got Saul and those people going up to the battle. Then verse 21, moreover, the Hebrews that were with the Philistines before that time, which went up with them into the camp from the country round about, even they also turned to be with the Israelites that were with Saul and Jonathan. Verse 22, likewise all the men of Israel which had hid themselves in Mount Ephraim, and when they heard that the Philistines fled, even they also fell hard after them in battle. So the Lord saved Israel that day. And how did he do it? Same way he does today. We are what? We are laborers together with God. God saw one man who was willing to say, I'm going to trust you, God. And by the way, his friend was willing to trust God right along with him. And God says, okay, now they're, I'm going to use them to rout the Philistines. And they're routing the Philistines, and their faith brought what? Brought revival to all those that were around. And God says, now I'm going to use a whole bunch of them. And God used the whole bunch of them to defeat that army. See, God's great commission works on the principle of multiplication, not addition. We go and we reach one and we teach one, and each one goes and reaches the ones that we can. Think about this. Start with a church of 10 people and add 100 every year for 10 years. How many people do you have in that church now? You have 1,010 people. Okay? Start with that same church of 10 people and figure that every year, one person, each person in that church reaches another person every year. And they do that for 10 years. What do you have? I mean, they do that for 10 years, yes. What do you have at the end at that time? 10,240 people as compared to 1,010 people. That's the multiplication process. That's how God intended the world to be reached. Christians get saved, and they begin in some way just by ministering. They reach out to another. By the way, there may be people that God used your witness in a great way that they be born again. You don't even know about it. You don't even know about it. Jesus puts a high priority on those who prepare the field. Remember when he went to minister to the woman of Samaria, and all those Samaritans got saved. Jesus said what? He said, I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Others labored, and you're entering into their labor. He was giving more of the credit to the laborers who didn't even lead those people to the Lord. They were right for the picking. They came and heard Jesus and the disciples preach, and they believed and got saved. And Jesus says, there was a lot of labor before this day. By others, and we can thank God that he's keeping track of all that, amen. And one day we'll see that again. So we see they rallied in God's passage, and then they rested as God provided. They rested as God provided. Look at verse 24. Now they're attacking these Philistines, and Saul gets a little proud, and verse 24, the men of Israel were distressed that day, for Saul had adjured the people, saying, cursed be the man that eateth any food until evening, that I may be avenged on my enemies. A little bit selfish there. And so, but he commands this foolish command, really. Jonathan kind of talks about that. Kind of a foolish command to do this. Now, when they're in the midst of the battle, Jonathan hadn't heard him say that. Look at verse 26. When the people were come into the wood, behold, the honey dropped. Well, that sounds like good for a tired soldier, doesn't it? Who's trying to round up all the enemies and get the job done. The honey dropped, but no man put his hand to his mouth, for the people feared the oath. But Jonathan heard not when his father charged the people with the oath. Wherefore he put forth the end of the rod that was in his hand and dipped it in an honeycomb and put his hand to his mouth, and his eyes were enlightened. He was strengthened. He received strength and nourishment from that. And they say, well, your father made us cursed anyone who would eat and that eat today. And what does Jonathan say? Verse 29, my father hath troubled the land. See, I pray you how mine eyes have been enlightened, because I tasted a little of this honey. And so they rested as God provided. At least Jonathan did. God, he had gone by faith on that journey. God had greatly blessed that. And then while they're missing that battle, what does God provide? Dripping honey right there. So that I would say that's a good sign that God say, I want you to stop. I want you to get some strength and prayer and go on. Remember the ravens bringing Elijah the food when he was weary and trying to do God's will. God sent the ravens there. You see, God provides the rest when we need it. Sometimes we were trying to rest. Sometimes our rest is interrupted. Remember Jesus and the disciples, they came back from the journey that Christ sent them out on and went to go to get a rest. And that's when the 5,000 showed up. So they ended up, teaching all them all day long again and feeding them in the night. So it wasn't quite time to rest yet. But God, listen, God provides a time for rest, and we need to take that time. Sometimes he'll show us it's not time to rest, and we need to go a little bit longer. But we need to look to him for that. They rested as God provided. Satan tries to get us to go one way or the other. He would like to see us off balance. All rest or no rest. Take the church, for example. We have churches today where there's so much pressure to fill all the ministries that it's families are ruined sometimes in the church because there's so much pressure to fill the ministries. And then we have some other churches where there's no ministries because what? Family seems to be exalted, and there's no time for ministry because there's a family to take care of. Well, listen, the Bible says take care of your family and be involved in ministry, okay? Just get a balance, amen? And to do what God calls you to do. And Satan would have us to always have us to be off balance one way or the other. He always takes the good things of God and tries to pervert them. And we would not want to listen to him in that. They rested as God provides. You ever been to, you've all been in job situations likely where you realize you had to go a little extra longer and you just had to suck it up, and just call out for a little more strength just to endure. And then I've learned to recognize too also, as I'm sure you have, there's times when God says it's time for a break. It's time to take a rest. And we need to be prayerful about that. Prayerful that we do that. Listen, I'm not going to forsake my family for the ministry. I'm not going to do that. And I'm not going to forsake the ministry for my family. By God's grace, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to be the witness God. I want to be the witness God calls me to be. I want to be the pastor God calls me to be. I also want to be the father and husband and grandfather God calls me to be. And then only take God's grace and wisdom to show me that. But I want that balance. I've sometimes been scoffed by some on both ends for the choices that I've made as far as how much I did or didn't minister. But I'm not worried about that. I have to answer to Jesus. And so we need to keep focused on that. What else do we see? They had the right concept of warfare. They rallied in God's passage. They rested as God provided. See, they relied on God's power. And we saw that in verse 6. He says, Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, "Come. And let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised, that maybe the Lord will work for us. There is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few." So God's power. They go up to the Philistines. They're standing there. They see him. It's like, here we are. Now either God's going to help us or what? Well, we're dead. They relied on God's power. "I am the way, the truth, and the life," Jesus says. "No man cometh to the Father but by me." Listen, Jesus does the saving. We are to share the gospel in love when we're given opportunity. And when we have done that, we have done 100% what God called us to do in that situation. I can't make anybody be saved. You can't make anybody be saved. And we're foolish to try to, some people try to, if you can just say things the right way, if they never get a chance to say no, then you can get them to say yeah. Well, it doesn't work that way, The saying goes, a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still, okay? People have to yield their will to Christ to be saved. They have to want to be saved. God works in those things in ways that he hasn't explained to us, okay? And we trust him for that. And then finally, they were renowned by God's presence. They had fame among the people. They were renowned by God's presence. Look at verse 43. What has happened here is Saul has caught wind of the fact that his command has been disobeyed. Someone has eaten against his command. Of course, we know who that is. And Saul calls the group together, and they begin casting lots, as the Hebrews would do. Saul would say, okay, Jonathan and I are going to stand here. All the people are going to stand here. We're going to cast lots and see who it falls on. And they cast lots, and it falls on Saul and Jonathan. And he says, now we're going to cast lots and see who it falls on. Of course, and it falls on Jonathan. And then 1 Samuel 14:43, and Saul said to Jonathan, tell me what thou hast done. And Jonathan told him and said, I did but taste a little honey with the end of the rod that was in mine hand, and lo, I must die. And Saul answered, God do so and more also, for thou shalt surely die, Jonathan. And the people said unto Saul, shall Jonathan die, who hath wrought this great salvation in Israel? God forbid, as the Lord liveth, there shall not one hair of his head fall to the ground. For listen, here it is, for he hath wrought, what? With God this day. So the people rescued Jonathan, that he died not. They stood up to the king. By the way, who had the power to take their life, at least by authority anyway. And they said, no, this is not going to be. We've just seen God work with Jonathan and deliver us. And now you're going to kill the one that God used to deliver? I don't think so. And they would have no part of it. And so they were renowned by God's presence. And that's what we want to be. We want to be renowned by God's presence. We want people to know that God is in our lives, that we're finding strength from Him, and that He is guiding us day by day, you know, as we sing there. He gives that grace that we need for every hour, and we can be thankful for that. All righty, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word tonight. I do pray that we would consider, even read over this passage in 1 Samuel 14 and following, and consider the faith, especially of Jonathan. We can learn so much for our Christian life from that. And I pray that we would be strengthened and encouraged from that. What a hard life he had. His father never really fully turned to you. He became more and more distant until finally you had his life taken away in a battle. And Jonathan himself gave his life in that same battle for his country. And he was a faithful man, Jonathan. He was faithful to David, your anointed king who is to replace Saul. And yet his life was had many struggles, many trials. But you blessed him so much. And help us to be encouraged by that. And God, strengthen us. For each one of us has trials that are wearying to us, Lord. And where we left to our own strength, we couldn't make it. We couldn't make it through. God, will you help? Will you give grace and strength? And help us in a way so that we can explain it. God, so that we can just know the peace that you give, and the next step that you'd have us to take, and the prayer, God, you'd have us to pray. And, oh, Father, we thank you. We praise you. And I pray you just bless our business meeting now to come, and we'd have a good business meeting. And Lord, we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.